I am the apple of God's eye. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Say, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Highly favored of the Lord. The devil will tell you many times what he thinks about you. But I just choose to say what God thinks about me. And I am the apple of his eye. You are too, but I'm his favorite. You know, God tells everybody that, hey, you're my favorite. I said, you told Robert that yesterday and Chuck that the day before. He goes, yeah, but I'm telling you that you're my favorite. Glory to God forever. You know, we've been talking about faith, and I want you to have a really good Christmas holiday season, because come January, we're going to start fasting. Oh, so get the fatted calf ready for slaughter over the holidays. But I tell you, faith is, we're understanding the mysteries of faith like never before. Well, that was good. Boy, you released something good. I'm still trying to recover. We're understanding the mysteries of faith and how this works. And it's crucial that you get connected with your inner man. Now, I'm not talking new age stuff here. I'm talking about the new man. I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm talking about the new creation by the blood of Jesus. That man's a dual citizen. You understand, you are a dual citizen. Now, I know, because you're born in this earth, we understand earthly things. We touch earthly things. But you also have been born again. And that man was raised. He was quickened together with Christ. He was raised together with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Well, somebody might say, well, that's when, you know, when I get to glory. I said, no, because if you go to Ephesians 1:3, he said he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So he's not waiting to bless you then. He's blessing you now. Where is he blessing you? In heavenly places. So we have to learn to get there. You have an inherited right to move in that dimension, to move in that realm, but you have to get sensitive and get connected. And the more you learn to operate out of that priesthood, you speak out of that priesthood, you see out of that priesthood, you envision out of that priesthood, you decree out of that priesthood, you'll be so much more effective in you receive. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is where? Within you. And so we've learned how to receive from the Father. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they've heard me teach this now about 10 times, and they still don't get it. And I said, all right, Lord. We'll just... He goes, when the Lord reminded me, he said, do you remember that time you listened to that one tape, you didn't get it till the 43rd time? He said, you're just as much of the granite head. He didn't say that, but, you know, that's what he meant. That's my interpretation of what he was telling me, you know. Sometimes it takes time to get our understanding. Boy, when that light comes on, hallelujah. You have to learn to release from that position. And what I want to encourage you tonight about is alignment. I was talking about that this morning. The more fine-tuned you're aligned into God, the more effective you'll be. The more effective your faith will be. Because it's easy to get out of alignment. When you're aligned, you know you're aligned. And when you're not, you know you're not. You have this thing called conscience that goes out of alignment, and it eats on you. How many of you ever have that when you're out of alignment, it eats on you, just tell you, you know, I just not where I need to be. You can excuse it. In Romans said it'll either accuse or excuse. So you can excuse it. When it's accusing, there's something it's accusing it, saying you're out of alignment. If you learn to listen to that, boy, your life's going to be a lot easier. Because what happens? You get too far out of alignment. you get into that no man's land. And you have very little grace to deal with life's issues. And if you are called with great authority and you're carrying a ministry or a business that's been born of God, that thing will function in accordance with the alignment that you have with heaven. When you're aligned with heaven, that blessing's on you and it's over you and it's covering everything and you're not carrying it. I've done this so many times with the ministry. God's carrying it. And things start flourishing because you're connected to the vine. He said, abide in me and I'll abide in you and you'll bear much fruit. The fruit just kind of comes automatic. But when you get disconnected, you start figuring out ways to fix everything. Because what happens, the weight of what God was carrying while you were in alignment with him, that weight gets shifted over to you. And you get to carry it. And now the greater the authority, the more you carry. And when you have to start carrying things in the spirit that only God can carry, it will break you down. But even in that brokenness, it causes you to get back in alignment. But when you get back in alignment, you get the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. So what we learn through those times, we learn the fear of the Lord. We learn, I'm not going to get too far out there. I've got to get everything into the light. Listen, you can't hide. It's only a certain amount of time. If you're hiding, the light will come on it. You got to get these things in to the light. You know something about darkness can never exist when light's on. I turn all these lights off. Darkness can only exist without the light. But when that light comes on, it expels it all like that. And so alignment is crucial. And God teaches us how to be aligned with him. And when you get aligned and anointing gets on you and you get the yoke that is easy and the burden line, you start seeing and God speaking every day and you tune your ear and you nail it to the doorpost of wisdom's house. Robert and Amanda were over at our house earlier this week and they're talking about how God's using them in dreams. And I was very plugged into that and using their kids. And now they're like daily plugged into this live wire from heaven almost. And God's given dreams and they like family huddles, you know. I guess y'all do that on the way too. They have a huddle and say, what'd God speak to you? And what'd God speak? And the kids are interpreting things that grown-ups can't even interpret. I have the interpretation. And God is speaking wonderful things. It's like a flow of heaven. I'm like, man, they're in that continual oil. And God's just, and their dreams are like for that day. And their dreams is like when God's dreaming, it's like Robert's telling me it's not like a week out. It's like today. It's like now. And they're in everything God's saying. It's like he's lit a path for them. There's many ways God will speak, but boy, you got that oil flowing like continual oil. It's all over the family and God's just talking all the time, which is causing everything to come in alignment. And I can tell when I was listening to them, the first thing I said, you know, they are in alignment, Father. I can hear it in their voice and the things God's telling them to do and living that crucified lifestyle and fasting and things. And you get serious about God and you'll start seeing things happen. When you get lazy and apathetic, things won't happen. The kingdom works with a crucified lifestyle, with your spirit alignment with God. When you're seated in that place, administrating the authority of heaven, things start happening. Things start moving forward. Sometimes it takes a whole lot of trouble to get us there. We get desperate when we're in trouble. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I don't want to find my greatest desperation for you in my greatest time of trouble. I said, I don't want you to have to lead me through trouble. Or I don't want to be, he didn't lead you through trouble. I don't want to be led through trouble. The trouble comes because I get misaligned. The trouble comes, I step out of his government and I start wearing mine and I start carrying it myself. You don't have the capability of carrying that. It'll break you down. And when it does, you'll get it right. You'll start getting desperate. A desperate, hungry person with the right knowledge and the proper foundation of maturity will get right in alignment with God. You don't even have to tell them. They'll find it. if you're not looking for the alignment. But what happens is you get in alignment and the blessing of the Lord returns. He starts fixing things that you cannot fix outside of him. Say, I can't fix it. But what it gets so good, when you get back onto that alignment, it starts flowing again, you get lazy. And the process goes around and around. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't want to get lazy. I don't want to get loose. I want to walk in the high places of God and the high places of the earth. I want to live in $100 million arena without it affecting my spirit. Full, hungry for God. I don't want to fall like Solomon did. David won the battle because he was a man of adversity, and that adversity kept him next to God all the time. Solomon never knew adversity. It was all handed to him by his father. Everything he had, and it swallowed him up. And Jesus said, I say unto you that are greater than Solomon standing here before you, because I've won both of these realms. So we want to come into that alignment. Now, here's the thing about alignment. God is going to issue you some instructions. You don't have to issue, and you don't have to get you a list. And there's not a lot of them, but it's just amazing to me. When he brought the children of Israel, he brought them up to the gate, Jordan, the same gate that Jesus was baptized in, the Jordan. Jesus fulfilled. He brought them through that Jordan River, but he preached 34 chapter sermon. So since it's Christmas time, I'm going 34 chapters on you tonight. We have coffee and, you know, so get ready for 34 chapters. And then Chuck's going to come up after that. And so he got him up to the Jordan. He preaches 30, and really, he repeats himself because I got the whole download. Deuteronomy was the most boring book till it downloaded. And boy, I saw it. I call it the biting gate. Oh, my God. How powerful that book is. And there's three major themes he was running through there. And he tells them, if you'll hearken diligently to observe what I'm telling you and to do it. So I'm thinking, what are you telling them? And when I saw the three major themes, he said, observe it and do it. Do you know how many times he tells them to do it? 41 times. He says, do it. I wrote them down. 35 times he says, keep it. Keep what I'm telling you. Say, keep it. Because it's very easy to lose even what you gain. Do you know how easy it is when you get into victories with God? And things are, the ministry's going well, the business is going well, how easy it is to get lazy, apathetic. You don't know your enemy, and you hadn't gone around that mountain yet of having that goodness and having fallen out of it. You have to fight to stay hungry for God when goodness is flowing. You have to fight for it. It's a rare breed to have someone have a natural hunger for God when everything's wonderful. Most of the church is not like that. 9/11, the church is filled up. And it just flowed right out after, you know, a time. Even the Congress, you know, they're up there, you know, having their say. God bless America. Arafat, God bless America. You know, but all that's lost, you know. So, because that adversity causes that shift. We don't have to be led by that. We can just stay right where God wants us to be. It takes a quality of maturity, experience, wisdom, eating the fruit of falling out. You want to walk in greatness with God, you have to learn to stay next to him. Because God can't trust you if you can't stay next to him. You just can't. If you're a person that's too easily given over to distraction, you can have all the vision in the world. It's not going to happen if you can't sit next to God. God's got to know you can stay next to him. That's one of his prerequisites. And it is a commandment. Love the Lord your God. Because if you do, you'll stay next to him. So in that book of Deuteronomy, the three themes was love the Lord your God, cleave to the Lord your God, and fear the Lord. Those instructions passed through the cross. Jesus fulfilled that at the Jordan River. he was baptized in the Jordan, and he was sent to fast one day for every year they wandered in the wilderness. 40-day fast, 40 years of wandering. He gets back, and the devil tempts him, and every time he responds from the book of Deuteronomy. Every time. Why? Because he was the true Jordan gate that was going to lead God's people into the true promised land, and he had to fulfill the requirements of that book, and no man ever did it but him. Oh! But what the Lord was showing me through that, he says, I give instructions. And the instructions I give in your mind are simplistic because they come from my mouth. The enemy knows whatever comes from my mouth holds more weight and more precedence than anything else. And though you and we, I, think that it's a simplistic instruction, you have no idea the spiritual warfare imposed against that instruction. Because God gives you specific instructions for a specific purpose to keep you specifically aligned with Him. And nobody has to give you those. You'll get them by walking with God. You'll know inherently, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. And when you go to do it in the noble show of the flesh, sometimes you last a week. I'm like, God, why is that so difficult? Case in point, my instructions are not your instructions. So if I'm going to say this. I'm careful not to give mine because I don't want you going doing mine. But I'm going to give you a few of them because it seems easy. And you're thinking, oh, how hard's that? Here's one of my instructions. Do not get on the cell phone in the morning before I go to prayer. Do not open my computer and look at the news before I go to prayer. Do not check emails before I go to prayer. Seems simple enough? Report in the prayer closet at this time. Simple. How hard's that? How hard it is, by the time you get there, the phone's ringing, the computer's prophesying, saying, open. Look what you're missing. Open. And you excuse it. God has a reason for everything He asks you to do. He'll actually, if you learn how to chart well enough, He'll tell you how much time you're supposed to be spending with Him. Everyone has a required amount of time that God sets to spend with Him. And if you listen closely, you'll know. How do you know? Because your conscience will tell you. When you're on, nobody has to tell you you're on. You know it. Your conscience bears witness. Man, we are on. You know what I'm talking about? When you're really connected, and when you're not, it's something's gnawing at you. You know, if you'll learn to chart that and listen to what's going on in there, it is an alignment process in itself, and it'll tell you what you need to do. You start listening to that, you'll know. How many of you have like at least one instruction you know God's told you over and over and over and over again? Raise your hand. I mean, it's like a daily thing. You know you're just supposed to do something. I don't know what it is. Like God might tell you you need to fast once a week. And you know. And how many of you excuse that? You know why He does that? You know how easy it is to excuse that instruction? You know why He does that? Because that keeps your body and its appetites under. Paul said, I buffet my body. I keep it under. In fact, that word says beat it black and blue. When you deny it food, you're beating it up. And what happens, you keep that appetite under. And what that does, if you learn to do that on a consistent basis, you don't need to go fast 40 days. The better way to do it, trust me, is doing a lifestyle of it. Because what happens, once that flesh and that appetite gets under, you have no idea how much it steals from you when it's in ascendancy. Because it gets its way. And it's always wanting things contrary to God. And it always wants to be where God is not. You notice that? Your flesh, like right now, if your flesh is in ascendancy, you don't want to be sitting here. But you, when you listen to that and you give heed, so I had to learn that I had to get what God said here. I had to write it down. I had to write it down. I had to look at it. And I said, look, this is what God has said. How do you know? Because that's what He was saying 10 years ago. It hasn't changed. And when I quit doing it, I'll do part of it. Overcompensate in one area. God, look at me. I'm fasting a lot. He said, that's good, son. We've got your flesh under. But every time you report to me, you're full of computeritis. And it takes so long to get rid of computeritis that half the prayer time is working on computeritis. Because you're so full, I want you. I created a day for a reason. I give you a night to restart everything. So when you come to me, I want you first. Haven't you figured out something about God? He likes first place. He likes first place in your finances. He likes first place in your life. He likes first place. And anything else gets first place, you get out of alignment. When you get out of alignment, you start carrying stuff. Things start breaking down. And we start going, why is this happening, God? You're out of alignment. And the slippage, oh my, you can slip so easy. It only takes is one step. You have no idea that one decision you made to just not die daily that day. Sometimes you have no idea how far you'll slide. If you're not accustomed to walking with God, staying real close to Him, you'll have to slide out a few times to figure out how far you can actually slide with one wrong decision. So you got to learn. You have to learn to fight that thing daily. You got to get in that place of daily, get in that rhythm of daily, and what happens? You come alive. I know when someone's doing it, they're on fire. I can tell it. The fire's on them. It's in their mouth. You can tell they're excited about the things of God. They're excited about God telling them to fast. Man, that's, you know that they're there. It's like, why are you talking about? I'm just getting you ready for after the holidays. I don't know anybody who plans on fasting through the holidays a lot. But some people will because they're serious, because they understand how to keep themselves. And so what I did, I identified what God was saying. And I got it all down. It wasn't that many. And I said, why, God, are these things so hard to do? Because I did them. I came to a place that I shut everything out. And I said, no matter what happens, I don't care. Nothing holds more important than this doing these little things that God told me to do. I'm going to diligently observe what you said, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep it. And when I did that, the Spirit of the Lord took me up a mountain very fast. It only took 2 or 3 weeks. Took me to the top of the mountain, and I hit the unconditional love within 3 weeks. And I went into the Father's bosom. And I was in there, and I touched that love. Oh, man. Because every part of you get focused in on God when you obey. I'm like, there is something about what you tell us to do that causes an immediate ascension. I said, what is that? He says, I specifically give each and every person a set of instructions if they listen to me. And if they do it and they give earnest heed, it releases the kingdom in their life. And when they do not, it causes to come out of alignment. Now, faith can work when you're out of alignment, but it works a whole lot better when you're in alignment. More, when you're in alignment with God, your faith is explosive. That's when you get the daily. That's when the goodness and mercy is tracking you down. Like you become a magnet for goodness. I'm going to tell you something. I want Chuck to share a minute here. I'm going to tell you something. What's inside of you is attracting, whether you know it or not. If you've got stuff in you, dysfunctionalism, it's going to attract dysfunctionalism. You just don't know it. If you've got rejection, it's going to attract rejection. I have a friend never has to struggle financially, and I talked to her about this. I said, I've never seen you struggle. It's not in her thought. She has this incredible belief system that's just there. And goodness just follows her all the time. Goodness just tracks her down. Things just happen all the time. As a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. Those gate issues, when we allow the Lord to... That's what I'm setting you up, Chuck. When we allow the Lord to shift those gate issues like he did Peter, you know, if you're a Gentile in here, you owe it to Peter's transition. So the Holy Spirit, he would have found somebody else, but he wanted Peter. And Peter had a problem. Peter didn't believe Gentiles could be clean. And God was ready to pour out. Now, you have a belief system that's contrary to God, it's got to be torn down. Now, God doesn't always do, he doesn't always throw us in a trance like Peter. He got the easy way out. I said, I'll have a trance. Trances are easy because you get pulled out of the earthly realm. You get suspended somewhere between heaven and earth. And all of you just, you're locked in. And God gives Peter the vision three times. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Like, God was actually think Peter was going to slay the animal, skin the spiritual vision, and eat. No, he's telling him, because he wants the response. He says, no, that's unclean. He said, I call it clean now. So Peter's pondering all this, and all of a sudden, he becomes a professor. By the time he gets to Cornelius' house, he's a biblical scholar. He says, brethren, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Thank you. Where do you think he got that perception? God adjusted that gate issue inside him. You got to let God make those gate issues. And when he does, you'll start attracting. I am determined this year to attract goodness. When I started doing this with a financial thing, people walk up and start giving. I've never had people giving to us like, they just walk up and start handing us stuff. I'm like, this is not normal. And God said, it is normal. It's normal. He says, that's goodness and mercy following you. It's like, well, what makes that work? Adjusted a gate issue. When you get that thing adjusted in you, now you're not going to live forever with someone handing you stuff, but they will do that. But what will happen, that what's working, you get so great that God has to command a blessing. And if that door's not open, he'll command it to open. He'll command a field on your behalf. You might be an intercessor and he might just drop down a witty invention. I have a friend has 42 patents. Say 42. Made millions on them. One of them, he got paid $60 million on one of his patents. Say 60. And he reinvested all that. Just an amazing person. But and lost that. You can lose it too. That's the second part. That's why I said gather up the fragments. You better start watching your fragments. Because there are people who have had a lot of money and lost it. Making the money, stage one. Keeping it, it's a lot harder. You think the devil fought you in getting there? Wait till you get it. He has a whole slew of things he's going to throw at you. He's going to bring people to you smiling. That's your best friend. And they're full of devils. And you don't even know it till after they stolen it all. You don't think he's slick? You know how easy it is to lose what God's given you? That's a whole nother realm in itself. Some people have an inherent ability to manage. Some people don't know how to manage anything. Some people have an inherent ability to make it, but they don't know how to manage it. I'm telling you, we got to learn because we're coming into increase. And divine multiplication. We got to learn how to watch the fragments. Say, watch the fragments. Why do you think he did that? Because he knows when increase in divine multiplication starts flowing, the tendency is to get that euphoric feeling like this is always going to happen. And God said, watch the fragments. Get your eye. Watch. Learn. I'm kind of shotgun preaching tonight, but it feels really good. So I'm going to ask Chuck to come up. And I want him to share a gate issue that took him 10 years. Everyone say 10 years. Talking about Granite Head of the Decade Award under my teaching. Yeah, it's just one decade. Hey, it could have been three, praise God. I'm just teasing with him. But it did take 10 years. I didn't make that. He said that. But once he said it, it's fair game. It's fair game. I've seen major adjustments in people lately. Just amazing. I've also seen people fight. Things rise and they fight or they reject. They don't know what's inside them causing that. They don't understand that that's a stronghold that causes. And when they reject some of the truths that God's given. Just amazing what God has shown us in the last 2 or 3 months. You can't find a college, university in the world to teach you things. You can't find a Bible school to teach you stuff like that. But the Holy Ghost, He's told us, and it's working. It'll continue to work if we stay plugged in. Amen? We got to stay plugged in. We got to stay on. I am determined now more than ever, because I want to get back in total alignment. I want perfect alignment. I said, God, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to fight in your goodness to be in perfect alignment. But we have to let the Lord deal with things and surrender. My, we have walls. I've had a lot of them. I don't want my walls broken down like with a hammer. So he's talking about me. He's talking about me. I'm probably talking about me. Don't get personal. I tell you, this one lady left church because I said something and she thought I was talking about her. And I'm like, oh my God. Everyone, you know, if you got that reaction, just so what? Oh my God, you've got a fault. Oh my God, you got a fault. You see my faults all the time. I said, Lord, that's one thing made about me. My faults cannot be hidden. Everybody sees them. I'm not one of those guys that can hide things. I wear it. You see it. It's to my detriment. But I get transparent to help you. Amen. Because God can use a guy like Chuck. I mean, my God. All right, come on up to you, Chuck. Share that. Hallelujah. Don't be picking on me now. Does it go that way? Complaints go down. They don't go up.
I think that was backwards. Glory, glory. To say with me, I am a magnet for goodness. I am a magnet for goodness. Not like you believe it. I'm a magnet for goodness. Daily I am His delight. Daily I am His delight. Rejoicing always with Him. Yes, that's it. That's it. See, that's part of the transformation that begins to happen. Because there are gate issues that we all have. We all have gate issues. I'm going to share some of mine with you. Hopefully won't have to share all of mine with you tonight. So we don't have time for all that. So hallelujah, Jesus. But the word in Genesis 22:17 tells us that thy seed shall possess the gates of your enemies. And that's you. You are that seed. Through Christ, you are that seed. And because of that, we can possess the gates of our enemies. Guess what happens in the gate? In the Old Testament gate, all the commerce was conducted in that gate. All the governmental business was conducted in that gate. When we begin to possess the gates of the enemies, then we're conducting and we're deciding what commerce is going to flow or not flow according to our gate and according to where we set our gate. And for me, this process started back, I don't know, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, somewhere right now. And God began to just, one Sunday morning, He just caused me to just really draw into the fear of the Lord. As I was studying, I was going to preach something else. I was preaching about faith. I was supposed to be preaching about faith that weekend. And on Sunday morning, when I woke up and began to pray into the service, he began speaking to me about the fear of the Lord. And that morning, I embraced the fear of the Lord. With everybody present, I embraced the fear of the Lord in a way that I had never done it before. And out of that embracing the fear of the Lord, He began to change something in me. And I wasn't even aware of it at the time. And then a week or so later, he began to speak to me this way. And what he said was to the effect that I couldn't ride on LaRue's coattail anymore. And he said, if you do not, concerning my call, as a king and a steward of His wealth, he said, if you do not embrace the message now, you will go to heaven missing part of your call. I'm not going to go to heaven missing part of my call. I made a decision. I made a decision right there. See, and faith starts with a decision. Faith starts when we decide that we're not going to do this anymore. What he was showing me was that I had surrendered that part of my call without even a fight. I had let different things beat me out of that. I had, at one time, most of you know that I had my own business and that all these things were really going well for me. And yet, through circumstance, I surrendered that and laid that part of my vision down several years ago without even putting up a fight. Because I began to believe in a religious mindset over certain issues. God had to deal with certain religious mindsets that were within me. Certain lack mindsets that were within me. There's a poverty mindset that we have a lot of times and we're not even aware of it. And part of the way that we can figure that out is how do we feel when somebody else gets blessed? If I can look at LaRue and see that he's getting blessed and there's something in me that goes, ugh, then I've got a problem that I've got to address because that's my lack mentality, not his. Because I should want him to be blessed. I should want everybody in here to be blessed because if you're getting blessed, then we'll be able to operate in faith. But if there's something in me that when somebody else gets blessed and I'm not getting blessed, it says, ugh, then that's an issue. That's a gate issue that we have to address. Jealousy will not take you through the gate. It is not an act of faith. Because see, that comes back to that lack mentality. What you're saying is that if he's getting blessed, then there's not enough for me to get blessed. And that's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell, but we so often we believe it. We don't think it, but we believe it with what we say, with what we do. We believe it with how we act and react. So we have to begin to deal with those gate issues. One of the things that God did, he said, I want you to embrace this message. That was the part where the 10 years thing, like I began to realize, oh my God, I've been here 10 years and I've been preaching this stuff and I haven't embraced it. What do you mean? And of course, there's a denial issue that you got to go, you know, you got to get past that. And then you get transparent enough to say it in front of certain people, and then they broadcast it over all of the United States and parts of Australia and everywhere else. Yes. So, but there's it's truth. Because see, what we need to realize, because if I can tell you this, and it changes and it saves you 10 years, then God's redeeming the time. God's redeeming the time. So. In that, he said, I want you to embrace this message. And about that time, we started talking about petitions. And see, I've had petitions answered before. I've made petitions. I knew that they'd get answered. But I had laid that down with the call. And so I began to this process of writing out my petitions, my original set of petitions. And I can't tell you the changes that began to come and stir. I felt faith that night just stirring inside of me. And you guys are way too situated right now. And I felt faith stirring in me just as I wrote those petitions out. There's something that changes because as you begin to search, what, Lord, how do I make this into a wording that is going to be pleasing to you? Lord, how can I find the heart of what you're looking for in this petition? And so it stirs in faith. And as part of that, we made several petitions. One was because we had made a pledge here. And I really, when we made the pledge, I wasn't operating in a tremendous level of faith. And basically, I put a pledge for $1,000. Okay, for some of you, that might be a lot. For some of you, that's nothing. But it's where my faith was at that second that we made this. And even before I began to leave church that day, it was like God was putting it in, you need to at least double that. So we made the pledge. So I made a petition for the double portion. And then Kim said, I want to bless Enrique. Well, I always want to bless Enrique. So we made another petition for $5,000 for Enrique. So, and then he said, now there's one more petition that I want you to put before me. And this one was probably the one that caused me the most anxiety of all of them, because it stirred up every devil in me. I'm being honest, okay? And he said, I want you to petition me for a flat panel TV. A flat screen TV, 50 inches, 1080p, 50 inches or better. Okay. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Number one, TV doesn't, it's not my thing, okay? I love to watch football and things like that, but beyond that, I'm not real excited about it. Matter of fact, sometimes it's a real distraction. It's something I gotta like cut off and move on. And but I knew Kim would be excited about it, okay? And I can say now that I'm on the backside of it and I see it, and it's beautiful. Okay, but it wasn't something that was in there, but I realized that God was doing something. Because see this, that process of putting it on paper. Number one, what do you say? How do you word that? And then how do you deal with this thing that begins to come up in your face? That's not God. See, the religious devil gets stirred up over that. Because you know, in spite of the fact that I have many thousands of dollars of other petitions here, when you start looking for something for yourself, then you have to deal with something in yourself. And that's partly what he wanted me to look at and do. So I put it up there, and by the way, I found out in Habakkuk 2, verse 3 says, let the vision speak, and it will not tarry. Wait for it. Though it tarry, it will not tarry now. So there's, and then the other part was in, I put in, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I began to understand that verse in a whole new way. God was wanting us, we look at that as a religious thing, where we're to seek first the kingdom of God, and we're not to look outside of, if it's not religion, then we're not to look at it. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying, seek me, seek my ways, seek to understand and to know who I am. Because if you'll know who I am, you'll begin to see the abundance that's in my kingdom. You'll see the process of multiplication that's in what I'm doing. And you'll see things that I'm not trying to rob you of anything. I'm trying to bless you with many things. And so that you can become a beacon and a light to bless others. You know, it's really hard to witness to the neighbor when the neighbor's the one sitting over there with the new car and the new boat. And you got nothing. You're driving an old rusted out Datsun from the 70s. Okay? It really doesn't make a good impression. Does everybody get my drift? All right. With Jesus bumper stickers all over it, yes. Covering up the rust holes in the back of it. So there was in that petition, he began to deal with that thing. Then I want to kind of fast forward to that part, but we got a call saying that, can I fast forward through that or not? We caught a call saying that the pension that Kim's mom had left, that this is something that is an issue that should have been resolved 4 years ago. And because they're on an Indian reservation, they don't have to do anything. The legal system in America cannot make them do anything. And so they called us and said, we have a check here for you. Now, what's the odds of that? 4 years they've been telling us, we don't even know that she existed. She didn't work for us. She worked for us, but she never signed any papers. She worked for us. She signed some papers, but she didn't do this. And one lie after another for 4 years. We had pretty much written it off and had no idea even from the get-go even how much it would be. I mean, we figured, honestly, maybe, $1,000-$2,000 because anyway, for whatever reason. And she said, and so Kim asked, well, what's the amount? $28,000. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now when she told me, when Kim, because Kim calls me and she's like, she can barely contain herself when she's on the phone. And I'm standing over here in the store at Altex trying to buy something for the computer. And she's telling me that. And I'm going, yes, yeah, it works. It works. And I kind of just bounce around. I'm skipping around the store. And I finally said, I can't do this in here anymore because everybody's looking at me. I went out and described it to my car and I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel and go, it works. Because you know when you're participating, when you're believing, and when you're doing these things, you know what made it happen. It wasn't just a faith accident. I've had faith accidents and miracles. I knew what made this work. And that's the difference. When you can begin to know and draw upon that and know that not only did it work now, but it's going to work again and again and again. That's the part that we have to see. So then, because that didn't, now, we were told about it. It was almost 4 weeks before it actually came in. So in this process, then you're still holding it. Lord, we thank you for this manifestation. Lord, we're still holding it, and we're releasing into the earth, and we're holding these things. And in this process, I'm out digging a hole for this tree that I'm planting. And God says, I want you to go get that TV. Okay, well, let me tell you, I just don't do things that way. Okay, that's just not me. I don't go get something before I have money to pay for it. All right, that's just not the way that I operate. And so I was like, no, it doesn't compute. And he says, I want you to go do this because I want you to see my goodness every day. Every time you walk through your living room, I want you to see my visible goodness. See, it's difficult because that makes everything within you come forth. There was a gate issue in me that had concerned my father. Every time that I would make a purchase, let me tell you what happened first, and then I'll explain that. And we went that following Sunday. That was Saturday afternoon late, so Sunday right after service. And I went to Sears, and we walked in. I got an email that said they were going to have a Cyber Monday sale. So I walked up to the salesman, and I see the TV in there, and I say, the internet says you're going to have this on sale for $10.99 on Monday morning. Can you match that price? And he said, yes. And so I said, okay, good. Then I'll be able to pick it up here. I won't have to pay any shipping charges or anything like that. And then he said, so we walked over there and he said, well, not only that, but if you'll actually sign up for one of our credit cards, okay, we'll give you another 8%. I walked out of there giving them nothing but a driver's license. And with a TV that was supposed to be $10.99 that I have tax title and everything included, I paid like $10.95 for. And so God showed his favor and he confirmed these things over and over. The day that the check actually shows up here was also the day they couldn't deliver it right then. They had to, had to send it from the factory for us to come pick up. The day that showed up was the same day that the check showed up. They called us the same day. So God double manifested thing to me so that I didn't miss the message. But anyway, as we left the store that day, I still felt this terrible depression. Kim knows. I mean, I got quiet. And then I began to realize that every major purchase I've ever made in my life, with the exception of one, I've had that same reaction. And that reaction came from my father's disapproval. See, every time I will listen to him all my life disapproving of others when they purchased something in some way or did something in some way with their money that wasn't pleasing to him. And every time I'd ever purchased something, all he did was find fault for it. And here I am, 48 years old, and I'm still trying to please my daddy. And I had to realize this is a gate issue. and this issue, if I can't allow this thing to flow through me in abundance and then naturally, is this gate issue will stop up the works. And that's when I began to press into it. At first, all I knew was I had this depression that would come upon me. And I felt that depression, and it took me a week to identify what is that. You know, there's this heaviness. And then I began to realize, I was praying with Vine. I began to realize, I feel disapproval. And he began to open up and show me where that disapproval came from. And the only time that I ever didn't get that disapproval from my dad was when I was 15 years old and I bought my first car. And I knew that he wouldn't approve of it. So I parked it on the empty lot next door. There was a house that had burned down there, and there was a driveway still, so I parked it right there in the driveway next door. And I get up on, that was on Friday night, I get up on Saturday morning, and my dad's on the phone to the police saying there's a stolen car next door. And I'm like, wait, there's something I need to tell you. And he kind of looks at me, and he looks at the phone for a second, and then he goes, let me get back to you. There seems to be some confusion on my end. And then I just told him, that's my car. I paid for that. I earned it. And he just kind of went, humph. And he got up and he walked out. And that was the end of it. There was no, that was the only time that he didn't disapprove. But that gate issue had to be dealt with. Because, see, if I'm not honest with those things, then, and there's something that wants to hold back, I can't release God's goodness for somebody else. There was another gate issue in that when it came time to actually write out that check to Enrique and write out the check to the pledge, there's a fear that comes up. What if I write out this and there's never any more? What kind of a sucker are you? Okay? And you have to look at that and you have to deal with what is the source of this fear. And it comes back down to that lack thing. It's still believing that there's not enough to go around. That God can't do what he just did. And I'm going, that's not even logical. But it's the feeling was there. And you go, oh, okay, now you deal with that issue. So because then you can begin to realize that God, if he's able to manifest this in a way that's totally impossible. I mean, they just called us up out of the blue. We didn't do anything. If God can do that, what can he not do? What can he not do? So we had to release that faith into it. Hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, Father. You know that some people would never have an issue like that. But that one issue will cause an explosion for years to come and a release of the anointing and the government of increase and divine multiplication will start releasing through him. And you got to let the Lord identify those areas, because what your gate issue may be, mine and yours might be different issues altogether. He'll identify that for you. And when you confront it and he tears it down, it causes the release. The kingdom's always moving. We're the only ones that plug the kingdom up. God doesn't plug his own kingdom up. God's always moving. We plug into what's moving. And the feeling of him being able to buy that sets a whole nother generational blessing. And Father, those who are listening by way of internet and those in the congregation, we ask you right now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to identify our gate issues as you did with Peter. Show us those things that are blocking the flow of the kingdom, because we are called to be conduits of the kingdom of God. And I prophetically decree right now for those walls and those imaginations, those high things exalting themselves against the knowledge of Christ, to be torn down, and for the resurrection, Father, of your thoughts, for your word, the way you believe, the way you see, for the mirror of the word, Father, to be transposed upon our belief system, Father. And I call for the release of the increase, the government of increase and divine multiplication. Let those gates open, for our gates shall be open day and night. They shall not at all be shut, that men may bring unto us the wealth of the nations. Our gates are open continually, continually. The gates of our businesses open, open. Open! Hallelujah.